Krishna and Balaram grew up in Vrindavan, they appeared to be such helpless baby children. After some days, Krishna and Balaram, with great effort, learned how to crawl on their hands and knees. They were crawling about, so beautiful. Shukadev Goswami describes that they charmed everyone's hearts as they crawled through the mud and the cow dung of Brajbhumi. The ankle bells that were put on their bodies by their mothers tinkled very sweetly, and all the Brijavasis were enchanted with love seeing Krishna and Balaram crawling about. Sometimes a calf would be approached, two calves would be approached by Krishna and Balaram from behind, and both the brothers would grab the tails of the respective calves. And the calves became so afraid, they started to run. And Krishna and Balaram, who were not even able to walk at that time, just held on very tightly to their tails as the calves were running, and they were dragged through the cow dung, cow urine, and sacred Chintamani dust of Braj. And the gopis would see this and laugh and sing beautiful songs in glory of the, in glorification of the beauty of Krishna and Balaramji. Then they would come and bring Krishna back to their mothers. As they would be crawling about, they would think every gopi to be their mother. And they'd very, very, as fast as they could crawl, they would just start crawling to a gopi. And then the gopi would turn around so happy. Here's little Krishna Balaram crawling. And when Krishna Balaram would see it's not Yashoda and Rohini, they would immediately crawl back the other direction and go right to Yashoda and Rohini. And Rohini would pick them up. They'd be covered with dung, urine. And they'd place them on their laps and feed them the milk from their breast. When they'd open their mouths to feed their children, they would see pearl-like little tiny teeth starting to grow in their mouths. Yashoda and Rohini would count the teeth as they would grow up. There is a ceremony when the child, after about 3 months, the child first starts to lean and starts to get up leaning. And in the Vedic culture, every stage of a child's development is celebrated with great, great affection. Brahmins chanting and giving blessings and music playing and so many auspicious rituals for the welfare, the happiness, and the protection of the child. So on this day, Yashoda Mai was carrying Krishna. And many, many guests were coming. So many guests. So she placed Krishna down under a hand-driven cart. Now, this cart was a demon sent by Kamsa named Shakatasura. He was actually a ghost demon. The ghost could actually enter into a cart. He wasn't a cart, but he entered into the cart, this ghost, just to kill Krishna. And little Gopal, who was not even old enough to walk, he was under the cart. And his mother went to receive guests and perform other household duties. So little Gopal wanted milk to drink. So he cried and very effortlessly kicked his leg. And when he kicked his leg, it hit the axle of the cart. The axle broke. The wheels fell off. and the whole cart came tumbling down, and all the pots and wares came boom, boom, making large noises as they've hit the ground. The residents of Vrindavan came running to see what is this loud noise. And there was little Krishna in the midst of this broken cart and all these pots. How is it possible that he has been saved? He was smiling. Yashodamai brought him, very much worried for his welfare, and he drank her breast milk, very healthy, so she was happy. And Yashodamai was thinking, what will Nanda Maharaj think when he sees this? He will think, why have I left Krishna alone? So Nanda Maharaj came, and he heard the cart was broken. He came running to the place. But when he saw that Krishna was so happy in the arms of Yashoda, he was pacified. They were wondering, how is it possible that this strongly built cart could just be smashed to pieces like this? What caused it? Some of the little children. We saw what happened. Baby Gopal, he kicked his foot, hit the axle, and the whole cart fell down. The gopis and the gopas, they listened, but they were thinking, how is this possible? How could we listen to such young children? Gopal is so helpless. This was the power of Yoga Maya, that although throughout Krishna's Braj Leela, he performed such incredible superhuman activities, but because of the nature of the love of the Brijavasis, their love was so affectionate, as Prabhupada is explaining within this purport. His love, their love, could not conceive of Krishna as being anything but their own beloved little child or friend. And even when he would kill great demons or lift the Govardhan Hill, they understood he's the Supreme Absolute Truth on one level. But their heart overpowered their intelligence. The love of their heart could only see him as their friend, their child, or their lover. They were not able to recognize his opulences as the Lord of all lords. They simply loved him because of his sweetness, his beauty, his charming personality, and his love for them. Shakatasura represents the obstacle on the path of Braj of a devotee who maintains bad habits, both old habits and new habits, such as lethargy, vanity, and other vices. In fact, on August 30th, Gauranga Prabhu has ordered me, along with Gaur Gopal Prabhu, to speak on this subject of Sakatasura. How the power of habits. Actually, in this age of Kali, people are addicted to so many bad habits. There's groups to help deal with that. There used to be just Alcoholics Anonymous, but there's Alcoholics Anonymous. There's Anger Anonymous. There's Gambling Anonymous. There's Sex Anonymous. Practically everything everybody does these days, there's an anonymous for. There's Television Anonymous. There's groups because people become so addicted to all these things. And even when we take to Krishna consciousness, still we have the conditionings of these bad habits. They're deeply ingrained within our minds and within our hearts. Even if we don't do it, the propensity is strong to do these things, to see this, to hear this. It's very difficult to overcome. But if we take shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if we take shelter of his name, if we take shelter of his service sincerely, then Krishna, by his causeless mercy, kicks and breaks to pieces all of our bad habits from all the conditionings of all our previous lives. That is our only hope. Otherwise, we are bound, we are destined to fall down in due course of time. Param drishtva nivartate, unless we experience the higher taste. Chaito darapana marajanam bhavamahadavagni nirvapanam. Krishna has appeared within his name. The sankirtan of the chanting of the holy name is inducing Krishna to appear within our hearts, to break to pieces all these anartas, all these bad habits that are plaguing us since time immemorial. So when Maya attacks with these inclinations and propensities of our previous conditionings, we should not take shelter of the habit. We should take shelter of Krishna and cry out his holy name. Should I end now? But you're sleeping. Sometimes. Very honest, thank you. When Krishna was about 1 year old, there was a wonderful ceremony. Yes? And this ceremony, so many Brahmins were coming to chant hymns, and Yashoda Mai was welcoming everybody in the house and taking care of the guests. She was holding Krishna in her arms. And somehow or other, Gopal, in her arms, became as heavy as a mountain. So she placed him down and then went to take care of all the Brijabasis. Another asura was sent by Kamsa. This particular asura came in the form of a whirlwind. His name, Trinavarta. He created such a storm that the dust rose and nobody could even see their hand in front of their face. The whole Brajbhumi, it was a blackout. Nobody could see anything. And everyone was only concerned with one thing. Where is Krishna? Trinavarta picked up Krishna and went higher and higher and higher into the sky. Yashoda Mai was looking everywhere, but she could not find him. She was crying out. She was in such motherly affection, feeling so helpless, that she actually fell unconscious like a cow that had just lost its calf. The whole of Vrindavan, everyone was simply looking for Krishna. Gokula Mahaban, Gopal, Gopal, everyone, Gopal, Gopal. And Trinavarta was taking him higher, 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 higher with the intent of murdering him. But little Gopal, who was hardly 1 year old, had his arm around Trinavarta's neck. That little baby who became so heavy to Yashoda became light as a feather for Trinavarta, just so that he could bring him higher, 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 higher. Then he assumed the weight of a gigantic mountain, practically the weight of the earth. Krishna is smaller than the smallest or largest than the largest. He can be lighter than the lightest or heavier than the heaviest. According to his purpose, he has free will. You're so awake now. It is out of eagerness or fear? Both. He became so heavy, Trinavarta could no longer bear his weight. So he tried to push little baby Krishna off. Krishna was only this big, but it was heavier than a Himalayan mountain. And as he tried to push Krishna off, Krishna squeezed his neck and started choking him. Trinavarta couldn't breathe, couldn't move. He was suffering terribly. He was screaming with all his strength. He was trying to somehow or other get Krishna off him, but Krishna strangled him. But actually, he did seva for Krishna. He gave Krishna a nice ride high into the sky, better than any roller coaster that anyone could make in this world today. Krishna enjoyed going high, 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 and then Krishna made Trinavarta so he could no longer breathe. He gave up his life and fell to the ground, all of his limbs just broken into many, many pieces. Hearing the crashing sound of this gigantic Rakshasa fall from high in the sky, the Brijavasis came running, 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 running. And there they saw little Gopal. And Yashoda Mai picked up Krishna in her arms, this innocent lotus-eyed Nandulal. And she had Brahmins chant mantras, and with tail of cow, and with dung and urine of cow, they put marks on his body and all these little rituals to protect him. And the Brijavasis, in their ecstatic love for Krishna, were not willing to accept that he's all-powerful. They were thinking that because of our pious deeds, the Lord Narayan has protected him. Maybe because we planted banyan trees, or because we're kind to the Brahmins, or because we protect the cows, or maybe because our child is so sweet and innocent and helpless that Lord Narayan has protected him from this grave danger. The demon of Trinavarta represents the arrogance of being puffed up by materialistic scholarship. Hare Krishna. When we think we're very learned, when we think we're very intelligent, and when other people think we are also, the tendency is we go higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. We think we're going higher and higher and higher and higher. But in due course of time, we will come crashing to the ground. Punar Mushtaka Baba. Sanatan Goswami is example. He was the most learned scholar. But when he approached Lord Chaitanya, he explained he was ignorant I do not know who I am. I do not know what is the purpose of life. I do not know where I'm going or where I'm coming from. I do not know what is right and what is wrong. I do not know anything. I'm ignorant. And yet, people call me a pundit and I believe them. Please instruct me. Unless we are humble, unless we are submissive, all of our so-called knowledge is simply superficial, external. And it could be even knowledge of the scriptures if it produces false pride. It can be an impediment to our spiritual advancement. What to speak of material scholarship? Material scholarship we see. The whole civilization is becoming more and more developed in science, technology, industry. And the educational systems, the universities and the colleges are becoming more elaborate in their understandings of the universe, in their understandings of how to manipulate it. But this is a great obstacle. Actually, Dhenukasura also represents too much pride. Too much pride in scholarship. Too much greed for profit, adoration, distinction. And it's interesting, Thakur Bhaktivinoda in his song, Vidyaravalase, he prays that all my life I've been studying books, I've been going to schools. All my life I've learned so much. And what is the result? I have become a foolish ass. Just carrying this burden, this weight of all this mundane information on my mind. Of course, material scholarship, if it is used in the service of the Lord with humility, it becomes an asset in our devotional service. It is yukta vairagya, using material things in Krishna's service. But when we have an egoistic mentality, then that scholarship is a great obstacle represented by Trinavarta. And we must humble ourselves to Krishna. Humble ourselves to Krishna's devotees. Become a humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And in this way, Krishna will respond when we chant his holy names. And he will help to kill this propensity, this obstacle of false arrogance from within our hearts. Soon Gopal and Balaram somehow learn to stand on their 2 feet and walk. Nanda Maharaj would hold Krishna's hand and help him walk. Sometimes he would let go and Krishna would fall, and then he'd pick him up again. That one great devotee prayed, I do not worship the Mahabharata or the Puranas or the Upanishads or the Vedic scriptures. I worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Brahman is crawling like a helpless child. When Krishna and Balaramji learned how to walk, very quickly they began their pastimes of stealing butter. The gopis would come and complain to Yashoda that you're Krishna, Balaram. They are so mischievous. They come to our homes and they somehow or other steal. They cause so much trouble. Listen, Rohini Devi. Listen, Yashoda Mai. Understand these two children. They look so innocent. But what do they do? Our husbands go out to milk the cows. And they find that there's no milk in the cows. Because your Krishna and Balaram, with their friends, they let out all the calves and they drink all the cow's milk before we could come. Sometimes they come in our homes and they take our butter and yogurt. And after eating it, distributing it to their friends, distributing it to the monkeys and the other animals, they break the pots and throw it all over the floor and say this butter is so useless that even the monkeys don't want it. When we try to prevent them from doing so by keeping the butter in clay pots hanging from ropes in the ceiling, they stack up wooden grinding mortars. And then they get on top of that, and they then got in top of each other's shoulders, and then with a stick poke a hole in the bottom of the pot so all the butter comes out. Then they eat it and distribute to monkeys. And sometimes they will go up to our sleeping little babies and pinch their ears, put water in their ears, make them cry, then they will laugh and run away. And when we hide the butter and the yogurt in such a nice way they can't find it, then they will go to a secluded room in our house and pass urine and stool in the house, on the floor. Now some of you are thinking, why Krishna does this? He's all attractive. I use this example many times because I like it. How many times have you passed urine and stool in your life? Can anyone tell me? Even a rough estimate? Does anyone else talk about it? Krishna did it once 5,000 years ago, and still we're talking about it. Not only talking about it, laughing about it. And pure devotees, their hearts erupt with ecstatic bliss when they hear about Krishna passing urine on the floor of gopis. That is Krishna. He's all attractive. Everything he does is all attractive eternally. Therefore, we can understand Krishna is God. If you can show me anyone else in the whole creation who is celebrated for passing urine 5,000 years before, then I will say, yes, that is God. Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything he does is simply to increase the ecstatic love of his devotees. They said sometimes when it's dark, these two boys, because of the jewels you put on them, it lights up the whole area and they still find the butter to steal it. Yashoda Mai said, then I'll take off the jewels. He said, no need. Because they're so effulgent, even without the jewels, they seem to light up all directions. And sometimes when they're caught, our husbands catch them. And Krishna Balaram will say, we didn't do it. Actually, there's a story of one gopi. She actually caught Krishna stealing butter. She actually caught him. And she brought him to Mother Yashoda and said, you didn't believe me, but now, red-handed, I caught your Krishna stealing butter. So Yashoda looked at the child, said, you better look for yourself. She looked. And it was her own son. It was her own son. She was very much ashamed. She said, I'm sorry. I'm sure he was Krishna. I caught him. It's my own son. So then she said, I'm sorry, I'll go. So she was completely bewildered, confused, and she was taking her son home. And then Krishna, her son shook her hand, and again it was Krishna. And Krishna said to her, next time you do this, I will take the form of your husband. So that gopi never complained about Krishna again. One time Yashoda Mai, she was hiding behind a pillar watching little Krishna. And Gopal Makanchor, he had his hand in the butter pot. He was eating it. And there happened to be a jeweled pillar beside him. And Gopal looked alarmed. He saw his own reflection in the jeweled pillar. And he started talking to the jeweled pillar. Said, my dear, to the reflection. Said, my friend, my brother, please don't tell Yashoda Mai that it's me taking this butter. I promise you that if you don't tell her, I'll share the butter with you. And Yashoda Mai was laughing as she was seeing Krishna talking to his own reflection. And then she came into the room and Krishna was, his hand caught with butter. And Krishna saw Yashoda Mai and said, Mata, it wasn't me, it was him. He was stealing the butter, and I told him not to do it. I told him not to steal the butter, but he refused to give up. So look, all the butter is now all over the floor. Another time, Yashoda Mai came in and saw Krishna with his hand in the butter pot. And Krishna took the hand out and said, I'm not stealing butter. Said, actually, because these jewels that you have put on my fingers, because they're so hot, they're burning my hand, so I put it in the butter just to cool my fingers off. And Yashoda Mai kissed his fingers and took the rings off and said, I will not put these rings on you anymore. So Krishna's wonderful leela as Makanchor took place in the blessed abode of Gokul Mahavan. On the day of Diwali, Yashoda Mai was especially making nice, she was personally churning the butter herself. Why? Because so many complaints about Krishna being Makanchor, stealing butter. Navanita Taskara. She only wanted Krishna happy. Krishna's not happy with butter at home. Why is he going to other gopis' house to steal? Actually, the reason was this. Although the gopis complained about Gopal, the only reason they made the butter, the only reason they milked their cows, was with the hope that Krishna would come to steal it. They even told Yashoda Mai. One time Yashoda Mai said, then I will keep Krishna at home. I will not allow him out. No, don't do that. Please don't. It's our greatest happiness. It's our greatest pleasure when we see this beautiful form of Makanchor coming to take our butter. He's accepting our love. So some people accuse that Krishna is a butter thief. If dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, real religion is that which is coming from God. The highest morality is to surrender to God. So if God is immoral, then how will you become moral by surrendering to him? This is the illogic of many people here in India. That why Krishna, of all the various aspects of spiritual truth, why Krishna? He steals butter, and when he's caught, he lies. Not only that, but later on, he's dancing with other people, with gopis who he's not even married to. Why Krishna? Krishna's Purnavatar. He's full. He's Rasaraj. He reciprocates the highest spiritual relationships of love with his devotees. Actually, Krishna's the supreme moral. He's never immoral. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Krishna's the proprietor of everything. If you go to the bank and take a withdrawal of your money, is that stealing? No, belongs to you. It's perfectly moral. Krishna owns everything. He's the creator, maintainer, and ultimate destroyer of everything that exists. So he doesn't steal, it's his. In fact, anybody who thinks anything is theirs is a thief. And Krishna will not steal from a person who's a thief. In the sense of this, through the power of time, Krishna will steal everything away from all of us. All of our money, all of our strength, all of our intelligence, all of our family members, everything we call our own will be stolen away by time. In the form of death, Krishna says in Gita, I am death personified. But for him to personally come and steal, only if we have a completely pure heart will he come and personally accept our loving offerings. When your heart becomes as soft as the Brijavasi's butter through love and devotion, then Krishna will come and steal the butter of our heart. And that is the ultimate perfection of our lives. It was the highest expectation of all the gopis. Krishna will come to take our butter. So on this day of Diwali, Yashoda Mai was thinking as a mother that why he goes to all other gopis' houses. I'm giving best butter. She would feed Krishna this Padmaganda grass. I mean, she would feed cows, special cows that would eat this grass that was fragrant like lotus flowers, that was absolutely delicious and soft. It's the best grass. And the best cows of Nanda's herd would eat this grass. And the best cow of all the cows, 900,000 cows. Of them, 108 were best. Of them, 8 was best. Of them, one was the ultimate cow, Surabhi cow, who would only eat this Padmaganda grass. She would personally milk that cow, personally feed that cow with love and devotion, personally churn the yogurt made from that cow, and make it into butter for Krishna. So as she was churning, her bangles were jingling, and it sounded just like a kirtan. And little Gopal was sleeping, and he heard the kirtan. Gopal always responds to the kirtan. She was chanting his glories. There was no other music in Vrindavan except the chanting of Krishna's pastimes. Whatever Krishna would do, the gopas and the gopis would just sing about that for days and days and days. That was their constant meditation. Prabhupada explained, this is Vrindavan life, where everyone is intoxicated just remembering Krishna's pastimes and singing with music and instrumentation the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. Prabhupada says, this is such an easy way to always remember Krishna. to sing his glories and chant his holy name. So as the kirtan was being sung by Yashoda, with her bracelets keeping rhythm, Gopal immediately came. Krishna becomes hungry for the love of the devotee that sincerely chants his name. So in this hunger for Yashoda Mai's love, he pulled her sari and looked at her with his beautiful, fully bloomed, lotus petal-like eyes. So she, overcome by Krishna's appeal, she sat down and began to feed Krishna her love in the form of the milk from her breast. What a wonderful meditation this is. Krishna's Atmarama. He is completely, eternally self-satisfied. He needs nothing outside of himself. All of us, we have to perform so much work in this world because we have so many needs and so many wants. But Krishna, within himself, is Om Purnam Ata Purnam Idam. He's perfect. He's complete. His satisfaction is perfect and complete. He doesn't need anything. But yet, it is his nature that he hungers for the love of his devotee. Therefore, he is Bhaktavatsal. He is conquered by the love of his devotee. Krishna is not hungry for our money because he's the husband of Goddess Lakshmi. And he knows our money is not going to last very long because Chanchalam, Lakshmi is Chanchalam. She never stays in one place very long. Maybe one, two, three generations, then she goes to somebody else. But there's one place she never leaves. The chest of Lord Krishna. Krishna is Srinivas. He is the abode of Sri Devi. So does he need your wealth? No. Does he need your intelligent dissertations? He spoke Bhagavad Gita. The most you can do is just, you know, as a little insignificant jiva, tried to repeat some of the words he said without even proper realizations. Does he need your words? Does he need your expertise? I'm a good cook. I'm a good businessman. I'm a good engineer. I'm a good mother or father. Does Krishna need that? He's giving you everything that you have to work with to do that, whatever it may be. Krishna's perfect and complete. But he's hungry for love. Wherever there is humility, simplicity, dedication, faith, and real affection, Krishna longs to taste that from his devotees. Krishna is conquered by love. Krishna's Madan Mohan. He conquers even Cupid. But Srimati Radhika, she is Madan Mohan Mohini. She is the personification of complete, perfect love. Srimati Radharani is Prema. She's Prema Mai. She is the possessor of all love. Whatever love any of us have, dormant in our heart is only insignificant, fragmental part of Sri Radharani's love. Therefore, Radharani's name is Madan Mohan Mohini. That means she is the conqueror of the conqueror of Cupid. Krishna is under the control of her love. And Krishna is under the control of the love of those devotees who have given their hearts and souls to please him as the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants. Krishna thirsts and hungers for that love. Yashoda Mai, she is such a perfect lover of Krishna. She loves Krishna so much as her child. She's unwilling to accept that he can be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Previous to this story, Krishna was playing with his friends. And Balaram and the other friends accused that Krishna ate dirt. Yashoda Mai is thinking, if my son is eating dirt, first he's stealing butter from gopis, now he's eating dirt? This is very bad. How will you maintain your health? Why have you done this? She's scolding him. Queen Kunti's praying like this. She's meditating on how Mother Yashoda is scolding Krishna. How glorious. Krishna says, I didn't eat dirt. But Balaram is telling, and all your friends are telling. Krishna said, then you look in my mouth and you see if I have eaten dirt. So he opened his beautiful lotus mouth and she looked inside. She saw the entire universal creation in his mouth. She saw oceans, mountain ranges, demigods and their planets. She saw all living beings. She even saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth. She was struck with wonder. She my child is not an ordinary child. With folded hands, she started offering prayers. But Krishna did not like to see Mother Yashoda in this reverential mood. It was interfering with the sweetness of their relationship. So by the power of Yoga Maya, he appeared so sweet, so helpless to her. She was thinking maybe some disease. Maybe there's some disease, that's why this is in his mouth. She completely forgot everything that she had seen. She justified it as something very ordinary. To protect this pure, unmotivated love. Unconditional. By the opulences of the Lord is the absolute truth. So Yashoda Mai is thinking as she's feeding Krishna her breast milk. Only to please him. And he only knows the love of his devotee. The milk on the stove was boiling over. Now this was that Padmaganda milk. This was the most priceless, treasured, rare milk in the whole creation. And it was boiling over. Why was it boiling over? Because the milk in Vrindavan, everything is personal. The milk is simply existing for the pleasure of Krishna. When the milk was seeing Yashoda Mai drinking, Yashoda Mai feeding her milk to Krishna, the milk was thinking, Mother Yashoda's love is so superior to anyone's. Krishna will just go on drinking that milk for the rest of eternity. He won't even look in my direction. Who am I compared to Yashoda? Therefore, there's no use for me to live in this milk body anymore. So he went, in order to commit suicide, he boiled over to enter into fire. But Yashoda Mai, she got up for Krishna's pleasure to protect this milk. But Gopal did not like. Now I will do mischief. Krishna wants exclusive devotion. Vyabhashayat makabudhireke ha kurunandana. Govinda Dev tells us in Bhagavad Gita that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. So Gopal wanted to teach a good lesson. So he broke that butter pot that Yashoda Mai was churning and ate the butter. Then he ran into the next room, leaving butter footprints behind him, and went on a wooden grinding mortar and reached up and broke another butter pot and started eating that. He was feeding it to the monkeys. Yashoda Mai came back, so saw butter pot is finished, broken. And being a transcendentalist, she followed in the butter footprints of Lord Krishna. And she saw from behind a pillar, there was Gopal on this wooden grinding mortar, happily feeding all monkeys. The monkeys saw Yashoda Mai. They ran away. Gopal turned behind and saw that Yashoda Mai with a stick was right behind him, so he ran in fear. He was trembling, running. She was running. She was thinking, maybe this stick is causing too much fear in him. So she put down the stick. She ran after him. She was running so much. The flowers in her hair were falling to the ground. Some of the flowers fell to the ground because they didn't want to be in the conspiracy of catching Krishna, because they knew she might do something to him. And others fell down because they were thinking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is running her from her. She has such love for him. What are we doing on her head? We should be worshiping her feet. Sukadev Goswami describes, nobody can catch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's unapproachable by anyone except his pure devotee. Krishna allowed himself to be apprehended by Yashoda Mai. Then she took rope, a very nice silken rope used to tie the legs of cows. And she went to tie Krishna to the grinding mortar, since the grinding mortar was also a conspiracy to this butter thievery. Why? Because she had other household duties to perform for the pleasure of Krishna, and she was afraid that Krishna will get hurt or in danger due to his mischievous nature. But when she wrapped the rope around his waist, it was two fingers too short. She got more rope, tied it to the original rope. It was two fingers too short. Again and again, she tied rope. It was always 2 inches too short. Soon the other gopis started bringing all different color ropes from their houses. And it was all being tied. Every time she went to put it around Krishna's waist, it was two fingers too short. It was inconceivable. It was a festival of ropes. There were hundreds of ropes of all different colors, and still, Krishna didn't grow. It's inconceivable to the mind. Krishna remains the same size. The ropes are growing, but it's still two fingers too short. Krishna's inconceivable powers. Yashoda Mai was perspiring. Her beautiful golden sari was becoming loosened. Her belt was loosened. Her hair was falling. Krishna was so overwhelmed by her parental affection to show her love by protecting him that he agreed to be bound by the rope of the pure maternal love of Yasoda Mai. Yasoda Mai performed her duties. Krishna was thinking in his heart, now that she has bound me up like this, I will do more mischief than ever. This scene of Yashoda Mai binding Krishna is so dear to the hearts of the Vaishnavas. The supremacy of bhakti is revealed in such a beautiful way through this pastime. As Yashoda Mai was binding Lord Krishna, Krishna was weeping. Tears were flowing and mixing with his kajal and going all over his body. He was trembling like a little leaf. His lips were quivering. And he was praying to his mother, Mother, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. I did it, but I will never do it again. I promise, please don't hurt me. That same supreme, all-powerful controller, the God of all gods, is taking such a position under the love of his mother. A partial expansion of Krishna was Varahadev, who with one touch of his hoof killed Hiranyaksha, the demon who caused fear in all the devatas. That same Lord who appeared as Lord Narasingadev and ripped to pieces Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that when he raised a single one of his eyebrows, all the demigods would tremble in fear. That same Lord who appeared as Vamanadev to cross the entire universe in two steps. That same Lord who appeared as Sri Ramchandra and severed the 10 heads of Ravana and pierced his heart and killed him, cut off the head of Kumbhakarna, that mighty Asura that even the demigods could not even look at. That same Lord who simply by his inhalation destroys the entire cosmic manifestation. Here he is in his original form that is the source of all these other extraordinary incarnations. A simple gopi, he's trembling in fear. He's crying and he's begging, please, I'm sorry, forgive me. That is the ultimate treasure. Who wants the temporary things of this world? The seed of all pleasures in this world is suffering because dukkhalayam ashashvatam, it is all temporary. We're working so hard for these temporary forms of entanglement, thinking that they're valuable. Prem Nidhi, the real treasure is love. Because that love is so very pleasing to Krishna. Krishna thirsts for that love. We have been keeping Krishna on a fast since time immemorial, at least in relationship to ourselves. He's thirsting for our love. Therefore, he comes to this world because he knows our soul is eternally thirsting for his love. That is what love is about. The soul is eternally thirsting for Krishna's love, and Krishna's thirsting for our love. Therefore, he descends in this world to show us the value of this love and how we can awaken it within our hearts. It is our nature. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Chiti Koriya Yudoi. Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita to teach us how to achieve this love. And he's so merciful, so magnanimous. When he sees in the age of Kali, people are not understanding and putting into practice the teachings of Gita, he personally descends as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna appears with the ecstatic, loving emotions of Srimati Radharani, the reservoir of all pure ecstatic love, to distribute that love, to teach us how to awaken that love by his own example. Trinarapi sunichena taror iva sihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Make this your value in life, humility like grass, tolerance like tree, offer respect to others, expect none in return. Be the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. Hear the glories of Krishna from real devotees of Krishna. And take shelter. Take shelter of the chanting of the holy names. Through this simple, sublime, blissful formula, the treasure of love of God awakens within our heart. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has especially come to bring people to the platform of entering into Vrindavan. These sweet, ecstatic rasas, madhurya ras, the sweet love of Krishna, that love that eternally fulfills all the desires of the soul. And the Lord comes in this age of Kali, along with Balaram, who is Nityananda Prabhu, appealing and begging for us to accept that love. And empowering such wonderful, pure-hearted, magnanimous preachers like Srila Prabhupada to risk their lives, sacrifice everything, to give us that love. We should not have other priorities. That obstruct that love from being received. We should organize, orchestrate every aspect of our life in such a way to harmonize with our pursuit of love. Prema Bhakti. After Yashoda Mai bound Krishna with the rope of her pure motherly love, she went to perform her duties. Krishna pulled that grinding mortar with the rope, crawling, pulled it. He came upon two gigantic trees. Arjuna trees. These trees were so big, they were towering into the clouds. They were so high. They were standing there for thousands of years, waiting for Krishna. And little Gopal crawled between the trees. The grinding mortar got caught between them. And he very slightly pulled. The trees went. Just broke and fell to the ground. Excuse my useless imitation. Some device to wake you up was required. It created an earthquake effect by which everything was shaking. It was such a tumultuous sound. Two beautiful personalities appeared from those broken trees. They offer their obeisances to Lord Krishna, surrender their lives to Lord Krishna. Krishna knows everything, but still he asked, "Who are you?" So they explained. They were Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. Shukadev Goswami explains that they were sons of Kuvera, treasurer of devatas. Queen Kunti explains in her prayers, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribir Edamana Madapuman, that there are four great disqualifications for cultivating true love of God and really calling out helplessly for Krishna. Aristocratic birth, physical beauty, wealth, education. Yes? High education. These are disqualifications because they make us proud. And when we're proud, even if we chant Krishna's name, we don't really chant with feeling. Akinchana Gocharam. One who feels that they have nothing. Krishna is the property of those who are akinchana, who have no possessions. Now, what does this mean? We see Kolavecha Sridhar, he had really no possessions. Therefore, he was chanting the holy names all night long with such feeling that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was constantly manifesting himself within his heart. But then we find Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Prataparudra, and other great, powerful, wealthy persons. They also have that same pure devotion, the same helpless chanting. Why? Because they're not proud. Even though they have so much, they realize nothing is mine. They use everything in the service of Krishna and his devotees. If you think something is yours, even if you're a poor person, but you think this is mine, then you can't really chant the names because there's some pride there, I and mind. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. These are the two fundamental obstacles for devotional life, I and mind. But one who understands, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Everything is Krishna's. The only thing that is mine is the opportunity to serve. Whether you're rich man or poor man, rich woman or poor woman, if you have that consciousness, if you're humble, if you're simple, then Krishna will reciprocate when you cry out his holy names. These two demigods, they were young, they were beautiful, they were healthy and strong, they were incredibly wealthy, and they were coming from the aristocracy of being the sons of the minister of treasury for the whole heavenly world. They were arrogant. And the tendency of people who have all of these material opulences is they think that they're their enjoyer, and they become intoxicated. Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were simply spoiled by their material opulence. For enjoyment, they were drinking intoxicating beverages, and they were enjoying in a lake with beautiful heavenly damsels. Hare Krishna. Who in this world would not want to be enjoying in a fresh, cool lake, in a heavenly planet with heavenly damsels who are completely surrendered to whatever you like? anybody would not like to do that? Hopefully all of you would not like to do that. It's very, very strong temptations. And with all of this influence, they were very intoxicated with ego. So Narada Muni, out of his causeless mercy, came to that place. And the girls, they weren't so puffed up, so they immediately put on their clothes because they were all naked. But Manigriva and Nala Kuvera, they didn't. Narada Muni, who cares, Narada Muni? We are Nala Kuvera and Mani. They were so intoxicated by ego that they offended a great sage by not even offering him the respect to put on their clothes before him. So Narada Muni was merciful, and he cursed them. Ah, you are very much attached to standing naked? Then you stand naked for tens and thousands of years as trees. Hare Krishna. So they were very much disturbed by this, one extreme to another. So they fell at Narada Muni's feet and begged forgiveness. And Narada Muni told them, the benediction will be that you will be in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and you will be allowed, after thousands of years of waiting, repenting for your sins, after thousands of years, you're going to have the chance to see Gopal's childhood pastimes, and he will deliver you. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Manigriva and Nala Kuvera represent the obstacle to devotional service of arrogance and pride, of being aristocratic by birth or aristocratic in position. As long as we think we're better than anyone, our heart is contaminated. King Prataparudra, how did he win Lord Chaitanya's heart? Although he was the king of Benga, of Orissa, he accepted the menial position of a street sweeper for Lord Jagannath before the Rath Yatra began. When Lord Chaitanya saw this, such a great man with such power, such wealth, such influence, but in his heart, he's just thinking himself a menial street sweeper. Lord Chaitanya decided at that moment to give him his complete mercy. So whoever we are, we're always the insignificant servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Through that service attitude, when we chant the holy names and pray for the mercy of the Lord comes and tears down those twin Arjuna trees within our heart and liberates us from the Manigriva and Nala Kuvera of arrogance. After they worshiped Krishna, surrendered their lives, and circumambulated him, they returned to their abodes as pure unalloyed devotees. And then the Brijabasis came running to that place, and they saw these trees. Nanda Maharaj picked up Gopal. How is it possible that he hasn't been injured by this terrible calamity? So they were thinking after this that this Gokul is a very dangerous place. Hari Bhamsa gives another detail, that Krishna and Balaram wanted to live closer to Jamuna and Govardhan. So from Krishna's hair, he created wolves. He created these wolves that were just going around Gokul and terrorizing, so that Nanda and Upananda and all the cowherd men would decide to move closer to Jamuna and Govardhan. But anyways, the Vrijavasis were to, had a meeting headed by Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, and Sunanda, and Nandan. They had this conference. You have seen at Gokul Mahavan, there is that beautiful house where Krishna lived with the 108 pillars, yes? Chaurasi Kamba, yes. 84, right, I'm sorry. 84 pillars, representing 8,400,000 species of life. 84 pillars. And it was there that they all met together and were thinking that Putana had come, and then this cart had broken, and then Trinavarta has come, and now these twin Arjuna trees are falling. Gokul is not a safe place for Krishna Balaram. We should move to the Vrindavan forest. There it will be very auspicious because we will be close to the forest of Vrindavan, the hill of Govardhan. Put the cows first. Yashoda Mai and Rohini Devi were on one cart with their little children, Krishna Balaram, in their arms as they began their journey to the forest of Vrindavan. That is our ultimate destination in life, to enter into the forest of Vrindavan. Through hearing the wonderful glories of Krishna's pastimes, through offering service to the Lord and his devotees, and by chanting the holy names of Krishna, that ultimate perfection is available to all of us. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have assembled here together at Sri Radha Gopinath Temple to help to inspire and encourage one another to dedicate our lives for this most noble purpose, to accept wholeheartedly this most priceless opportunity. Let us, on this most auspicious day, as a family, offer our hearts and our lives in the loving service of Sri Radha Gopinath, of Srila Prabhupada, and to each other. Because without respecting the Vaishnavas, we cannot truly honor our Guru. And without honoring our Guru in such a way, Krishna will not accept our devotional service. We should see every devotee as a representative of Krishna, because by serving them, we have an opportunity to please our Guru and make real spiritual advancement. On the celebration of Nandotsav, the Vrijavasis showed such love for each other in their glorification of Krishna. They were singing together. They were dancing together. They were lovingly splashing yogurt and butter on each other's bodies, which really means just their love, their affection, their attitude to please in each other. That's what it is about. That's how they celebrated Krishna's birthday, because that's what pleases Krishna. If you have a party in some other place, listening to some other music, that is not showing love for Krishna. But what the Vrijavasis did is they were simply dancing, singing, playfully loving one another in a way of sharing their love for Krishna with each other. That is the difference between material society and spiritual society. Materialists are also dancing and singing. They may even throw butter on each other. They throw so many things on each other. But are they doing it for the pleasure of Krishna? Are they sharing their love for Krishna with one another? That's what makes a spiritual party. The spiritual world is a party. It's a family party, eternally. We're all walking as dancing, all speaking as singing, and everyone's thoroughly intoxicated with the sound of Krishna's flute. Everyone simply wants to share Krishna with each other. Thus, the supreme party of all parties is Harinam Sankirtan. And that is how we chant, we celebrate Janmashtami. Each and every one of you, as you're hearing the glories of Krishna, just by your attention, just by your wakefulness, you're sharing your devotion with Krishna for everyone in this room and everyone in the world. Just the fact that you're here and you're trying to be awake, you're sharing your love for Krishna or your intention to love Krishna with all of us. And that's a great, wonderful service. Janmashtami is the day that Krishna appears. Srila Prabhupada explains that the Vasudeva platform is when there is no false ego, when there's a sincere desire for service to Krishna. When we attain that Vasudeva platform, then Krishna appears within our heart. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated through the Gundicha Marjanam that when we cleanse the temple of our heart thoroughly of all the dust, straw, and dirt, and sand of material desires, material attachments, and false ego, then our heart is actually a suitable place in which Krishna will be pleased to manifest his darshan. That is Janmashtami. The ultimate Janmashtami is when Krishna reveals himself within our pure, clean heart. And that is what we are longing for. That is what we are praying for. That is what we are begging for on this holy day. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai.